The start of the new academic year doesn't seem to have much to coincide with in the Christian church year. After all, things in the church year are relatively quiet until Reformation, All Saints, and especially Advent. Then there is a pretty intensive focus on the life of Jesus for 6 solid months until Pentecost. There's Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Holy Week, Resurrection of our Lord, Easter, and Ascension. These are never observed in the beginning of September when the academic year kicks off. But there is one minor festival that does appropriately pop up near the start of every academic year here at the seminary, and that is Holy Cross Day. Its origins are linked with Helena, the mother of Constantine, who headed up an effort to locate and consecrate Holy Land sites in the 4th century, and who is said to have found the cross of Christ that upon which he was crucified. Although we Lutherans have never been into relics, we certainly have always valued what Jesus accomplished, what he did on the cross. The hours of suffering that our Lord endured on the cross are the climax of his work of salvation for the world. Thus, it is appropriate that as each academic year begins, we observe Holy Cross Day, focusing on the cross as central to the life of Jesus, central to each Christian life, central to who we are as a seminary. Our gospel reading from John 12 plunges us into the mystery of what would happen to Jesus at the cross. Jews had come to believe in Jesus, also Samaritans, in the chapters leading up to this chapter. Now even Greeks come to Philip, interested to see Jesus. Now that the whole world, Jews, Samaritans, Greeks, are coming to Jesus, he knew it was the time, the key time, to go to the cross for the world, as he announces in our text. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The Gospel of John reports on the important theme that there is a key hour of revelation in the ministry of Jesus. You may remember that before Jesus turns 120 gallons of water into fine wine at the wedding of Cana, he said, "My hour has not yet come." His key hour of revelation does not occur in any of his miracles, any of his great 7 signs in the Gospel of John, certainly not even in his transfiguration, which John doesn't even record. The key hour of revelation, as Jesus announces in this text, is his death by crucifixion. It is the cross. I cannot overstate this point. Most people would love the opportunity to go into heaven and behold God in all of his splendid glory, sort of like Colton Burpo in the movie Heaven is for Real. Jesus emphasizes, however, that it is at the cross, his cruel death, orchestrated by Jews, carried out by the Romans, that we truly see God and understand what he is all about. What Jesus makes very clear in our text is that he is not the victim of political circumstances. What the Jews and Romans were about is his approaching death an emotional, physical, and spiritual challenge? He confesses that in our text as he says, "Now is my soul troubled." But the cross is what he is all about, and that's what he also states. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. God reveals the depths of his love for this world, for you, at the cross. In the Father giving his only begotten beloved Son as the atoning sacrifice in the place of every sinner in your place, we see the depths of God's love for all of his creation. Even if we could climb into heaven, we could not see a more profound revelation of God than what we see at the cross. The Son incarnate in flesh, suffering and dying in our stead. That is who your God is. And this gracious action is what he is all about. It is noteworthy that the cross has become the central symbol of Christianity. We have taken a cruel and inhumane means of Roman execution, and we have put it front and center in our sanctuaries, on our pulpits. We've hung it around our necks. A modern analogy would be putting an electric chair on the altar and around our necks. Why do we lift up this cross and call it holy? Jesus here expresses the amazing result of what he would soon do at the cross. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus drew the whole world to himself in his death. There all, including you, were justified by his action. Yes, in his act of atonement, the good shepherd laying down himself as the spotless lamb for the world's sin, there it took place. There he sanctified this tool of execution and made it holy. His holy sacrifice drained Satan's power to accuse sinners, including you. Unlike Helena, we will never find the cross upon which Jesus was crucified, even if we try. But today, that cross finds you, because the victory over sin and Satan won there comes to you in the very body and blood sacrificed on that cross. We live in very challenging times. Cultural shifts happening. Since the last Holy Cross Day, we observed huge shifts visible in the rejection of such basics of life as marriage and the distinction between male and female that make our Christian vocations both difficult and dangerous. The cross is not only what Jesus is all about, but it is also what we are about as Christians, especially as ones who the Lord is leading to be Lutheran pastors and deaconesses. If anyone serves me, Jesus says, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. The Holy Cross, the willingness to suffer and sacrifice for others, not only defines Jesus, it defines you. Sir, we want to see Jesus. I remember the first time I saw those words in a pulpit. I was guest preaching during a vacancy at Trinity Lutheran Church in Reed City, Michigan. Stepped into the pulpit and in very yellowed shape, an index card typed on there, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And I quickly thought through my sermon before I preached it. These words, this day, calls upon us to let people see Jesus, and not only the person Jesus, but Jesus on the cross as the sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God who laid down his life for the world's salvation, that you may have, that the world may have eternal and resurrected life. This day, this text calls upon us to join people to the cross event, serving them what you will receive today, the holy flesh given on the cross, the holy blood shed on the cross that made that cross that makes you holy. In the cross of Jesus, amen.